Columbus.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
The Blue Jackets were able to get back to their winning ways last night in Philadelphia. It wasn't easy again, but they found a way as they beat the Flyers. 3-2 was the final score in that game. And Jody Shelley, with that win last night for the Blue Jackets, a couple of things happened. They expanded their lead over the New York Islanders, who they were tied with in points. But they also leapfrogged the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now the Blue Jackets are sitting in second place in the Metropolitan Division. This team has worked so hard just to get back into the playoff picture. They improve it for a day, but as we talk about all the time, there's plenty of games left on the schedule for everybody, so you just have to maintain where you are, right?
Yeah, that really is the message because, I mean, we quickly counted teams out that are still hanging around. I think everyone has done that throughout the season. We talked about it earlier, the 25-game mark, the 55-game mark. But, you know, a lot of surprises in the East this year, and there's a lot of desperate teams, and teams know the importance of making the playoffs. So it's not just the organization and the players. It's everyone around it, you know, and it's the pressure in big markets to get back in the playoffs and the excitement in our market where last year they missed by 2 points, extreme disappointment. So I think that adds up to what we see with the players is a real business-like approach. I mean, they honestly feel like and look like and talk, they haven't accomplished anything. They feel good about themselves, but, you know, you look at last night's game, that was a grind. And that first period, you know, could have went the other way. There could have been a blip in the radar, but after going 12 games with picking up a point and then having that one loss in a 1-0 loss on a really well played defensive game by both teams, and then to come back and grind your way through a game, they're all going to be different. Every game's going to be different. Every, you know, tomorrow night here in Montreal, it's going to be an electric atmosphere. Their top line is high flying. And you cannot look too far ahead, and you got to really stay in the moment. I think that's one thing this team has done really well. And, you know, you hear it around the league right now all the time. It's taking care of our own business, and I think that's something Rick Bowness has established with this group. And they want to play this way where it's like, don't worry about the opponent too much. You know, worry about how you play as a unit, because that's ultimately the teams that are playing this way, the best team game, the understanding of roles, where people fit on the depth chart, how they accept that. The teams that are doing that are having the advantage and having success right now.
To your point of how this team is acting so professional about the way they're going about their business, earlier today I had a chance to sit down with Cole Sillinger, and you'll hear that interview coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, everybody epitomizes it. But, you know, here's a guy that is 5 years into his National Hockey League career. He is so far ahead of his years, I think, with the way that he carries himself and the way he's handled everything that's come his way. Yeah, throughout his career, but even this year, there have been, you know, changes and coaches and, you know, his role and where he's going to play and what he's going to do. And I think he's playing the best hockey of his season right now. Do you agree?
It's the most appreciated, I think. I think that's the key to that is that, you know, the importance of him on that line with Coyle and Olivier, and how he moves up sometimes on the top line when they need a spark. And on the road especially, you see Marchment down there at times. He's valuable in almost every situation, and can be too on the power play if he gets that opportunity. But he's really understands, like, and we spoke to him earlier in the season about the approach to this season. He's in a contract year. He's a restricted free agent. You know, he really has the mindset of staying within himself and trying to appreciate and live in the moment off the ice and on the ice. And I think that's really served him well. Now, at the beginning of the year, I was like, wow, that's an interesting perspective for a young player in his fifth year in the league, who's played in every situation and has kind of morphed as his career is, which is just starting, has come along. He's had to morph into this defensive-minded, responsible, reliable player. And, you know, he's dealt with injury and he's been on the outside looking in, but now he's definitely a part of the inside. And that approach, you know, hearing him say it early in the season, but watching him do it has really served him well. And I think that that's kind of like that goes throughout the group. You don't hear a lot of people anyone complaining about ice time or situations. And now winning is good for everything, Bob. We know that. The food is good. The travel is great. You know, everything's good when you're winning. So, yeah, I think that he does epitomize that, and he's very thoughtful and focused on kind of where he's at, and I'm looking forward to that interview.
I think it's fair to say that Zach Werenski hasn't always been himself since he's come back from the Olympics, and he had the Olympics and the post-Olympics, and he got sick, and he was out for a week, and he really lost a lot of weight, and he's had a battle. But last night was a great indicator of what Zach Werenski does for your team when he's playing his game. And he didn't play his game in the first period. Nobody did last night. It was, and Rick Bonus even said, he said afterwards, he said, I think since I've been here, that might be the worst period we played.
Yeah, well.
Didn't he just say that the other day?
Yeah.
but Zach, to the point, I mean, they start the next period with Zach setting up Olivier right away for a goal that ties the game. And then Zach, 2 minutes after that or whatever, comes right back and scores one. To have that kind of a player that can make a big difference just on his own, huge for this team.
Yeah, can you believe it's been just over a month since that gold medal was handed out? Yeah. And, you know, the time is flying through the season here. But for Zach, you know, and I heard Quinn Hughes talking about it on the Tkachuk's podcast. The Tkachuk brothers have a podcast. And he was saying, let's be honest, guys, like, we were at the top of the mountain. And it's hard for me, this is what Quinn said, with the Minnesota Wild, to like get that much excitement and joy that, you know, I'm looking for every game. There's an adjustment period, and I appreciated his honesty because, I mean, those, it's like, isn't it like winning the Stanley Cup or more and then celebrating and then having to come right back on the treadmill and think you're going to pick up where you left off after playing with such great players and with such a unique tournament, the emotions of that. So it did take time, plus throw in a week of being sick, weight loss. You know, there's a lot there, and we expect a lot from Zach Werenski, and we know he expects a lot from himself, but it's that game-changing game that he brings that we haven't seen. It's that extra gear and that extra, whether it's sneaking in body position-wise. I mean, there are games recently where he's picked up 3 points and you haven't noticed them, and that's great. And there's a saying I heard a couple of years ago, a coach say, I forget who it was, but it was, you know, not everyone's going to have their A-plus game every day in the National Hockey League in the regular season. But how good is your B game? Is your B game going to hurt the team or help the team? And I think there's been a period here where Zach has had the A-minus game maybe a little bit as a world-class player. He's kept himself in the Norris Trophy race because he's collecting points. And now he's starting to come on at the most important time of the season, after everything that he's gone through, from the Olympics to the illness to getting reacclimated to the game. And so it's time for that to happen because he is such a huge factor. We see it every night when it's like we leave the rink and we would say, wow, how about that? I mean, it's almost like there's, you know, some players have a different gear and everyone else is in their wake when he decides to go up the ice. That's what it brings. It's that noticeable game. So good for him. He's a pro's pro for dealing with everything and finding those ways to impact the team in different ways, which could also be, Bob, that he now can settle in because he trusts the team game that's being played. You know, you look at early games that they were losing, he would be a star, but I think he was trying to do everything at times because he felt like he had to. But now there's a complete team game. There's depth scoring. I'd love to talk to Zach maybe about that single thing that you're just a piece of this team now and not the guy that has to bring it in all situations. And that's a really good thing for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, really good thing for them. Probably really good thing for him because the pressure has moved away a little bit. But again, when they needed him the most last night in that second period, bam, he was right there and he was on it. All right, coming up next, you are going to hear from Cole Sillinger, Blue Jackets forward, who is playing some tremendous hockey right now and helping this team to try to get where they want to be into the playoffs. This is The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, it's Anthony.
End of spring, Cheetah Green begins Masters Week. Hosted by Skip Mossick, Lifetime Achievement Award winner by the Southern Ohio PGA. It adds a touch of class to the radio station.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, Thursday looks like an active day. Some morning rain showers for the rush hour and then drier during the midday into the afternoon before a strong cold front hits. Sometime between 8 p.m. and midnight, it looks like it's going to have some heavy rain, some strong to severe thunderstorms, even some hail, damaging winds possible with that. Highs on Thursday in the middle 70s and then falling quickly into Friday. Friday, some morning rain showers, but highs 30s and 40s. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Hey, I want to tell you, you get the best seats for the biggest games, all of it, as part of your 2026-27 Blue Jackets ticket plan. Choose the matchups you want. The plan starts at 11 games. You can save up to 40% and get guaranteed access to 2026 playoff tickets and flexible payment options. Learn more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. If you get one of those ticket plans and you come to see the Blue Jackets, you can see my next guest. Cole Sillinger is with me right now. And Cole, first of all, thanks for giving me a couple of minutes today on what is kind of a, not a day off, but it's a travel day, Philly to Montreal, and having to get there for a game tomorrow night to finish off this three-game road trip. I just wanted to ask you, I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, can you believe that this is your fifth year in the National Hockey League already?
I mean, yeah, I can believe it. It definitely flies by quick. I mean, you know, from getting the process of getting drafted and then, you know, playing my first game, and then just, I think as soon as that first year started, it's just like, you know, it happens fast, and talking to guys, it's when they say it goes quick, you know, that's the truth. And I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot in my career. I feel like I've been through a lot with this organization, and you know, where I am right now is exactly where I need to be. So, you know, it's been a great learning curve, and just enjoying the process of trying to be the best version of myself and be the best player I can be. And, you know, I'm still a young guy, but with that being said, have, you know, a lot of experience up to this point, and just, you know, looking forward to continue to grow and learn with this team.
I'm glad you brought up the things in this organization, because again, as I was thinking about it, so much has changed here in 5 years, and you're still the same, just tiny bit older, but you've been through two general managers now.
Yeah.
You've been through, can we even count how many head coaches you've had in that time that you've been here?
Five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five.
One per year.
Yeah.
One per year on average. And then, you know, the change too, as far as positioning, you playing center, playing on the wing, playing on a top line, playing on a third line, whatever the case may be. And you just rolled with every bit of it. And has it been as easy as it seems from the outside for you making all of those adjustments and trying to, I mean, you started 18, as we said, with one GM, and then you get to another one. You have all these coaches, and all this time you're trying to process, okay, what does this person need from me? What does that person need from me? Or do you just say, this is what I need for me, and we'll figure out the whole balance of this thing?
I mean, I think it's a little mix of both. You know, I think just within, you know, I know what I bring to the table, and, you know, you can never, I guess, when you have a new coach or, you know, new GM or whatever that is, or even new line mates, you know, you're put in certain positions because of, you're playing the past. And, you know, I try not to, you know, do anything differently just because I'm playing with certain guys or anything like that. I try to just bring a consistent game. And, you know, I think that, you know, allows me to be well-rounded and, you know, to be utilized in a lot of different situations.
What about this year specifically for you? Because you'd been playing at center for a while, the last couple of years. You come in this year and things are a little bit different. And I think through both coaches that you've had this year, you know, you've been more on the wing than you have been in the middle. Was there an adjustment for you in that?
Maybe a little bit, but I think, you know, I've played wing growing up. I think, it's more natural for centermen to play the wing versus, you know, a winger to just to come in and play center. So I think the transition's, you know, I guess more fluent that way. And, you know, being just, I guess, playing with this year mostly with Coyle and Ollie and, And Charlie's a really good center. And I think just learning things from him on how he plays the middle of the ice. And, you know, if I ever get the opportunity to go back in the middle, I think, you know, I've add some, you know, things in the toolbox, you know, from him. He's just such a sound player. You know, very responsible in all three zones and, you know, good at faceoffs. He's just really the complete centerman in my eyes.
Yeah, it's really funny how Charlie has worked out as part of this team. And I got to ask you, he gets acquired on draft day, right? First round of the draft. He gets traded here. Isaac Lindstrom gets added as a free agent. Mm-hmm. And he was a centerman. I know he's playing wing now, too. But, you know, when that goes on during the summer, do you watch the moves and try to figure out where you fit in amongst all of this stuff?
Yeah, I definitely watch the moves. I don't think I'm really trying to figure out where I fit in or where I stand. I mean, it's still the summer. I don't want to, you know, just try to think about that too much.
You don't want
to
ruin the summer.
Yeah. Not even that. It's more so just, you know, the opportunities and excitement of adding guys to our team. And, you know, obviously as soon as we get players like those guys, you know, I'm Googling them, seeing their careers up to this point. And, you know, I thought it was really cool that Charlie's never missed the playoffs. So that was one thing that stuck to me. As soon as we acquired him you know, even Woody too. I mean, both guys coming from Colorado and, obviously they've done some, you know, pretty good things the last couple of years. And, so, I mean, it's just nice to have that experience. And, you know, I love talking to guys right when they come in, just, you know, their perspective on, you know, different teams, different situations, how it is over there, or, you know, just, it's just nice to see a different perspective and, you know, take that into, and I know what we got going here.
Yeah, if you get too much into it in the summertime, that would be like when you're going to school, and if you start thinking about solving math problems in July, who wants to do that?
Yeah, who wants to solve the math problem?
That's right. Yeah, you get that done in September.
Yeah, exactly.
But we know they're there.
Yeah,
and we'll just worry about it.
Take care of the summer, and then this will take care of itself. You know.
Well, it sure has taken care of itself, hasn't it? I mean, you talk about playing with Charlie Coyle and Matthew Olivier. You've moved to a different line here and there, and there's been tweaks along the way, but for the most part, you guys have been together all year long, and the chemistry is very visible, I think. Do you feel it on the ice?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've said this, it's like we bring a lot of different, you know, combinations or not even combinations, and a lot of different, you know, kind of at all, as far as, you know, the speed, the compete, the work ethic, you know, the goal scoring, you know, playing against other teams' top lines. You know, I think we just embrace the challenge every single night, and, you know, we just kind of want to go at it. You know, I think, it's been a really good thing for our team so far.
Is the biggest challenge for you, or the one that you may enjoy the most, matching up against the best players on the other team? Because that's a huge assignment, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool to be out there, and not even cool to be out there, but it's a good challenge to be out there, and it's exciting to be out there, and I'm obviously exciting when you know, you're playing, you know, a prominent role as far as that goes, and you know, the best players in the world are the guys you want to, you know, continue to learn from and continue to compete against, and yeah, when you have a successful night and your team's winning hockey games, it's a good feeling.
You talked a lot about Charlie Coyle. You know, Matthew Olivier picked up his 15th goal of the year last night. And I asked Mike Haviland about this in between periods. I said, is it fair to say that anybody that thought the 18-goal performance by Matthew Olivier last year was a fluke, they can just shut up? Because he's literally has enough games to get back to at least that total, if not exceed it, this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's got an underrated shot. You know, he can pick his corners and he works at it too. It's not fluke. Like he's in practice, he's working at it. He's working on his hands. I think guys are starting to realize just around the league, you know, how much of a threat he can be in that area too. So obviously he can bring that physical presence and, you know, the fights and all that stuff and the compete and the passion. But, you know, when he gets the puck and some opportunities, you know, he can score. So, I think that's also a great addition that he's continuing to build, and no, it's definitely not a fluke.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And the shot he had last night was great, but yeah, what you're talking about how he works on it, the first thing I thought of was the goal he scored against Seattle last week at home when he and Charlie were right there by the net. And as I called it, I said the soft hands of Matthew Olivier to get that puck and tuck it in. And we all know he doesn't have soft hands.
And hard hands.
Yeah, soft and hard hands. Yeah, when it comes to fighting, it's completely different. And it's got to be great to play with a guy like that on your line too, because, you know, if there are any shenanigans, you're not afraid to step in and handle things, but you always got backup, right?
Oh yeah, always got backup, and I mean, he's got the belt right now for me, as far as that goes. And you know, the thing is too, like, he'll fight anyone, and he'll when you start to score, whatever, you can see guys, you know, be like, veer off from that kind of category, be like, oh, I don't have to fight here, I don't have to fight here. Like, always, he'll fight anyone, and he'll do it on any given night. And you know, he knows his role in that end, and he's never going to veer from that. So I think he just can continue to add to his game and be more well-rounded, and it's cool to see.
Cole Sillinger is my guest tonight here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. More with him after this on 97.1 The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
For decades.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McGilligan, and tonight I'm joined by Blue Jackets forward Cole Sillinger. Let's talk about your game specifically, because I think you're playing your best hockey of the year right now. You had a three-point game at home the other night. You know, you're just right in the middle of everything, and it looks like you are just loving what's going on with this playoff race and the way these games are amped up night in and night out. Is that true?
Yeah, this is why you know, do what you do in the summers and train and you know, continue to work on your game. And, you know, this is why you play, you know, 82 games in the regular season, to get to this point and to have the opportunity to get in the playoffs and go on and win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, this is the second time in my career. We were here last year, but it was just a little bit different feel last year than this year. It just feels like we're more, more in it. Not necessarily more belief. I've always felt like as a group, we always believed, you know, what we're capable of. And, but now it's nice seeing the result consistently and, you know, just kind of the perseverance we've faced in the first half of the season. And then obviously that switch being made and this is, you know, by far the biggest run that, we've been on as a team since I've been here. And, you know, that's exciting. It's, you know, when the games are at stake and there's, you know, competitive and, you know, or I guess a lot of compete and, you know, just a lot of passion within, I think that's when, you know, my game arises and, they just try to do anything you can to get the win result.
You talked about the early part of the season, which had to be frustrating as heck for you guys who missed the playoffs by a point last year and there were 2 points, one game. And you expected to be in the spot that you're in now all year long, and it wasn't working out that way. It was the exact opposite for you before the coaching change in January. How tough was that to go through individually and as a team, knowing that we're way better than this? What the heck is going on?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when you expect to be better than you are, it's just the way it happens. And I did think earlier on in the year, we were playing some good hockey at some points and just weren't getting the results. And, I feel like we know how to just handle that, those situations a little bit better and, you know how to handle, you know, leads and, you know, even when we're not up, just to be able to, you know, find a way to get one and then, get another one and put teams on their heels. And, I think we're dictating the pace of the game and dictating the pace of play, a lot more than we ever have. And, I think that's a key component to why we're having success.
As we go around the league and people in different cities ask me all the time, what's the biggest difference with the coaching change? What does Rick Bowness do that wasn't being done before? Or why is it so drastically different from what it was? And look, I give answers, but I don't know. You're in the room. Yeah. What is the answer to that?
Yeah, I'll speak on Bones' behalf as far as, you know, versus comparing him to anyone else. He teaches a lot of principles and, when there's a couple of principles implemented versus systems, you know, there's only so many systems, in the NHL. And, you know, whether you're a 2-1-2, a 1-2-2, 1-1-3, like whatever it is, or on the forecheck in the neutral zone, you know, there's only so many of them. But when you have principles in place as far as, you know, pressure and staying above and managing the blue lines, you know, the game of hockey happens within that. And I think, you know, just, it just simplifies, you know, in my mind at least. And I think just within our group mentality, it's a simple, but it's effective. And, you know, offense isn't, being taken away of any of the, you know, the defensive kind of tightenings or the structure that we've implemented. And, you know, it shows. I mean, we're outscoring teams and in the scoring chance area. And, you know, most nights we're scoring more goals too. So, you know, I think that's obviously a bonus. And while doing all that, you know, keeping the puck out of our net and, you know, each and every night we're getting, you know, great goaltending for both of our goaltenders. And, yeah, I just like the way everyone on our team's being utilized. And I just feel like everyone's involved. Everyone's a part of it. And, you know, when you get to this point of the year, you know, you do need everyone and you can't have any passengers. And, you know, I think that's also a big key factor in why we're having success.
And even the guys that are out of the lineup right now, nobody wants to be there, but it still creates a level of competition, doesn't it? I mean, if you've got a spot, you've got to play your game every night. You better be on your game every night because everybody knows that there are people just knocking on the door waiting to come in.
Yeah, it's the NHL. It's how it should be. And, you know, those guys that are on every night, they're working on their game. And I know that if there's an opportunity for them to get in, then they're going to, you know, do whatever they can to help our team. But, you know, that there's a lot of great players. And with our team right now, if you look at it, like we're very deep and in all areas. So, yeah, it's how the NHL should be.
You played the 3-game homestand. The games were 5-1, 6-3, 5-2, whatever. So, you score a whole bunch of goals. Then you get on the road. You go to Long Island. They score a minute and 25 seconds in, and then it's a 1-0 game. You come to Philly, have to grind out a 3-2 victory. And I guess my point here is you're probably going to face more of those type games here the rest of the way, and if you get into the playoffs like you want to. But right now you're showing as a team you can play whatever style of game that has to be played that night, right?
Yeah, that's – you know, to get in the playoffs, you're going to need wins, a bunch of different types of wins and know how to win, you know, 5-2, 2-1, 1-0, whatever that may be. And, you know, at the end of the game, as long as, you know, we get the 2 points, you know, a win's a win. And, you know, obviously within the game, we'll look at some things and areas to clean up. But, you know, as far as obviously we want to score goals, we want to win, you know, whatever, five plus goals every night, but you know, that's just certainly not the case and it's not realistic. So, you know, when push comes to shove and, you know, it has to be a 1-0 game or a 2-1 kind of grindy road win, or 3-2 like it was last night. Yeah, we're comfortable playing any style.
Are you a scoreboard watcher?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm a big scoreboard watcher after the games, you know.
How soon after the game last night?
I mean, after you, whatever, take a gear off, take a shower. Like, I try not to just grab my phone right away. I mean, sometimes I do, but, yeah, I mean, right away, as soon as, you know, you see that, when you see we jump to the second in the Metro and, you know, get some help around the league, you know, it's good. But at the end of the day, like, we want to be in the playoffs after the regular season's concluded, right? It doesn't really matter. We've still accomplished nothing. So we got to continue to push here until we have that X beside our name.
I just wondered if you were like me who, like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you're watching these games and you're going, everybody's going to overtime. Everybody's picking up points. You can't even make up any ground in this division. And then I couldn't believe it when I was looking at the scores last night. I was like, holy crap, for the first time in a long time, a lot of things are going to fall in favor, right?
Yeah. That everyone wants to make the playoffs, and there's a lot of good teams, especially, you know, out in the East this year. So, you know, points aren't easy to come by, and you know, that's why, you know, when you're in overtime or when you get a win, you just got to continue to move forward. And you know, if that's not the case, if you lose a 1-0 game in the island, you just got to kind of move on from it, because each game's so important and there's no time to dwell on the past, whether it was good or bad.
Rick Bowness said something after the game last night that really made me think. He said, we're in control of our destiny. We have a spot. We have to make sure that we don't lose that spot. And it made me immediately think of last year, how you were in that situation, and then in the last couple of weeks, you lost that control and you needed other people to help you out. And ultimately, on the next to last day of the season, you didn't get the help, and then you didn't wind up in the playoffs. How nice is it to be in this spot. And I know there's still a long way to go here, and there's still a lot of games left and a lot of possible points on the table. But to know that when you look at it, hey, we do our job, we're in. That's got to be a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Whenever, like thinking about it last year, you know, I think just the race, the whole entire race was a little different. At that point, you know, it seemed like everyone was kind of losing, and you know, it was like who could lose less would get in. And then, you know, we obviously finished the year with you know, a 6-game win streak, and you know, on a positive note. But you know, unfortunately, that little blip there is a reason why you know, we didn't make it. And yeah, each and every night, you never want to be dependent on anyone else for your own destiny or for your own success. So these last 11 games here, you know, each game we play is the next, you know, most important game of the year. And I know we're going to treat it as such.
Yeah, I remember talking to Zach Werenski last year. You guys went in that losing streak after the outdoor game. And I talked to Zach one day in the room, and I said, I go, it's disappointing, huh? And he goes, yeah, it really is. And I said, I can't believe it's going to end like this after what you guys were able to do all year. And he said, yeah, me too. That's what's most disappointing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're ripping off win after win after win. And yeah. So that's the point, right? So much can change between now and the end. You don't know. You can't count it out.
Yeah, so you just got to stay present. And, you know, our focus right now is just getting on the plane and going to Montreal and, you know, having a good dinner, getting our rest. And, you know, we're playing a lot of games here. I think this is like coming up, whatever, 6 games in 9 days. It seems like every second day we're playing, and we like that, especially when we have some momentum and we're rolling. And, yeah, so I think it's just staying present, staying within the moment. Again, not getting too far ahead, or not getting, you know, too down if anything doesn't go our way. But, yeah, we're not really thinking about that. We're just being, and, you know, we're going to take care of business here in Montreal.
I was going to say you get to feel like a baseball player, but that's not true, because even though they play every day, they get to stay in a city for 3 days at a time, and you don't get to do that. It's always on the move. All right, one last thing for you. You talk about Montreal. How much do you enjoy playing in Montreal, in that atmosphere, in that electricity, where they are all behind their team until you start beating their team, and then they're all against their team?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places to play. Doesn't get any better than the Bell Center. I mean, just even you know, just the little things as far as like the warm up and you know, just them being packed in the warm up and just like the little songs. I think they have that Coldplay song. I remember when I was like 18 going out there, like it was getting chills. So yeah, it's obviously I think as a consensus around the league, it's probably, you know, most players' favorite place to play, just as far as the atmosphere and the way. You know, they're so passionate about hockey and their team. And, you know, it's a big game for them. It's a big game for us. So, you know, I expect, high energy and, you know, exciting and loud building.
Yeah. I always tell people, if you can go and experience a game there, you need to do it. And we go back again in like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and there's a whole big trip from Columbus coming on that. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun for them and a good experience for them. But, hopefully the experience for you guys is going to be exactly what you want it to be. Hey, it's been great to watch you play as of late, to the whole team, but your game in particular, and watching the way you're getting things done. So congratulations on what's happened so far, and best of luck to you and everybody else trying to make sure. We all want to work beyond the end of that mm-hmm. schedule that's printed, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Please, Cole, help take me there.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
That is Cole Sillinger, Blue Jackets forward, here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. When I come back, Jody Shelley will be back with me, and we'll wrap up this week's show here on 97.1 The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
I'm Leslie.
Hi. Football, food, and fun, and fat, and furry. They both have beards. And they dress up like animals and hump things. T-Bone and Tybus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best seats, the biggest games, all of it can be yours with the 2026-27 Blue Jackets ticket plan. You get to pick who you want to see the Blue Jackets play from game to game. The packages start at just 11 games. You can save up to 40%, and you get guaranteed access to 2026 playoff tickets along with flexible payment options. Learn more by going to BlueJackets.com/ticket plans. Bob McElligott back with Jody Shelley here to wrap up this week's edition of the Inside Edge. And last week you were predicting the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference, and you said Ottawa was going to be in. And as of today, they're in. You also said that Detroit would be out. As of today, they're out.
Wow.
You did say you thought Montreal might be the other team that winds up on the outside looking in at the end. Now, right now, they're not in that spot. It's the New York Islanders as we talk right now today. But the Blue Jackets are going to see this Montreal team here tomorrow night. Still have to play them twice, mm-hmm. two times in 2 weeks, and both here in Montreal before it's all said and done. How confident do you feel about last week's prediction? Should feel pretty good. You got 2 out of 3 to this point.
I actually left the room after the interview and thought, no, I think I got that wrong. I think there's going to be 5 teams from the Atlantic and 3 from the Metro. I didn't really look hard at the Islanders. I was impressed with how they played the other night, and it's a Sorokin factor that,
yeah,
that's what I look to with Boston is the goaltending, the Islanders with the goaltending. You know, Pittsburgh to me, I mean, they got to get 12 more points, and they have 22 points available, so not overly asking too much, but it's got to be at that 98-99 plateau to make this year's playoffs. So it's still wide open in a lot of positions. Those positions are going to flip-flop more. Detroit, they're not out of it. They don't think they're out of it, and neither does Philly. Now, last night would have put a dagger in them, but I remember being 10 games out with 10 games left with 5 points behind, and, you know, you go on a bit of a run, and you don't count any of these teams out yet. And so, yeah, I feel good about it, Bob, but I did leave the room feeling that I might have pressed that one a little bit. And listen, the next Montreal trip, which is right at the end of the season, or is it the end of this month?
It is. No, it's in April.
It's in April. Everything's in April now because we're at the end of March.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're right there.
But that's the trip with the Blue Jackets fans coming in. Almost 200 people coming into Montreal, and the organization is hosting them here, which is, I mean, for anyone that has been to Montreal, they know how special it is to watch a hockey game. And anyone that is coming for the first time, they're going to be thrilled. We're going to dinner with them the night before the game. The fans, they're going to get to go tour the Bell Center, the Center Bell. And it's springtime here. The snow is melting, so it's going to be a fun trip.
It didn't feel like it when I got off the plane today.
No, but there is snow, but it is Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Yeah, and that is, you're right, that's going to be a great experience. And that's part of another 3-game trip, right? Detroit, right. Buffalo, yeah. Montreal.
It's a big one for the Atlantic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for the Blue Jackets, you think of the hockey left and the hockey that's gone, and it's been a fast. That's the other thing about this schedule. Everything changes, like, you know, quickly. There's only 2 games tonight. Buffalo does play tonight. The Rangers play tonight. But it's Sabres-Bruins. That's a big one in Buffalo for Boston. And Buffalo is hard to beat, especially at home. And the Rangers-Maple Leafs has no impact, zero impact on the schedule, on anything tonight.
You just watched the Rangers. You called that game. They played Ottawa on Monday. They had 9 shots on goal, right, and lost 2-1.
Bob, they had 4 shots on goal after 2 periods. And the defenseman, Cleven, he had 6 after 2 periods for the Ottawa Senators. They lost 2 defensemen.
And yeah, Igor, how are they doing it?
Igor Shesterkin, that's the thing. The Ottawa Senators tried to blow that game open a few times. They couldn't. And the teams that are out of it, that by the 3rd period at home are still in it, it's a different looking team. They were a different looking team in the 3rd period. They could smell it. They could taste it. And they just came out. They almost tied the game up. It got to be very, very interesting. And with 4D, especially Shabbat, who plays 28 minutes out, and then the rookie was out, he left in the 2nd period. The 4 guys that played, you could tell they were getting tired by the end of that game. So, you know, I mean, that would have been a tough blow for the Ottawa Senators, but they won back-to-back. They went into Detroit last night and won, and you're right, now they're in the picture.
Tell me about this Montreal team, because you've had a chance to see them throughout the course of the year, even though the Blue Jackets have only played them 1 time so far this year. You've got a pretty good beat on this team. What is it?
Well, they had a lot of injuries, but they're slowly getting guys back. Their top line is flying. Cole Caulfield now is at 45 goals. He was tied with McKinnon, I think, last night, but McKinnon scored a goal. They're high flying. They're defensive hockey. Their goaltending is getting better. Dobish, of course, was a story last year.
There was a lot of talk at the trade deadline that they might try to do something there, right? The Bobrovsky rumors are out there floating around.
I mean, this is a team now that snuck into the playoffs last year. They lost in the first round to the Washington Capitals, but they've interchanged their lines quite a bit, and Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slavkovsky are together. It was our buddy Texier up on that wing, but they did get Newhook back. So he's on the second line, and Texier finds himself with Jake Evans and Zach Bolduc. Anderson came back from injury. We know what he brings. And they've got Deneau, one of the best centermen of this decade, on a line with Gallagher. They're good. Their story is their back end. They picked up Noah Dobson. He plays with Matheson. And if you want to watch a highlight reel player, Lane Hudson is the guy, the defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens. They're dynamic. They're fast. They defend better than you think. They're one of the youngest teams in the league, so they're still learning hard lessons. And this goalie, Jacob Fowler, who they brought up from Laval, who's a prospect, has really done a good job. He's done a good job. So their goaltending is still moving parts and pieces. Montembeault looks like he's out of the picture. He's had a really tough year. But they play a high transition game. They defend harder than you would think, but any shot or block shot, they take off. And their power play is confident. This should be a heck of a matchup. This is the high-flying team that the Blue Jackets are going to try to frustrate.
Yeah, and I was just thinking that when you were talking about that, because we've seen the Islanders game and the Flyers game that were both kind of blah.
Yeah.
And you saw those three games at home last week, especially the Carolina game and the Seattle game, which were wide open and high flying and much more fun, much less playoff style kind of hockey. So I'm interested to watch this one.
Yeah, this would be good. And the atmosphere at the Bell Center is always tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, this is when they're winning or losing, their fans are on top of them. But now they've got stars. Demidov is a young superstar in the league, budding superstar. You know, it's they have a punch on every line as far as speed and skill. Patrick Laine is still out. Remember, former Blue Jacket ended up here. He's been out all season long due to injury. They're a very interesting team. I love watching them play because they make young mistakes, but they also are brash enough to make young, you know, high flying plays. And it's really entertaining hockey.
When Cole Sillinger, when I asked him about playing here, one thing he brought up was the music. And the first thing I thought of was you. Or he said, actually, what he said was, even during warm-ups, when they're in their seats and the music is playing, and I thought, I've heard this techno-pop music story from Jody a million times.
It's true. You feel like you're on stage, like at a rock concert. It's the buzz starts early, and it doesn't leave the building. And you feel the expectations. I mean, you feel it when you pull into Montreal. You don't feel it in New York. You know, New York, Madison Square Garden, and the Rangers, they have great fans, but you don't feel it in the city. When you land in Montreal, you feel like this is home of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing else, right? I mean, you go into New York and there's all the pro teams.
Yeah, but it oozes out of the concrete of the walls of the buildings of the Montreal Canadiens. It's in the fabric of everything they do. So that makes it even more special.
Yeah. That's why it's fun when your team wins here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's a task because if they get rolling, they got down 2 goals last game they played, and it was kind of like flat. And then all of a sudden they came to life. So,
all right. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be back on.
That is Jody Shelley. Like to thank him. Like to thank Cole Sillinger for being on as well. Blue Jackets and Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night. The game gets underway at 7:00. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 right here on The Fan and the Blue Jackets Radio Network. Jody's got FanDuel tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame show there as well. That's going to do it for the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV.